Welcome to His Church, Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
I tell you what, will you do me a favor today and just turn to 2 Kings chapter 13? 2 Kings chapter 13. I do want you to know today that we have a few things that are coming up in the future. I'm a planner. I love to plan. I love a plan. How many of you like a plan in this church? Okay. Some of you don't like a plan. I love a plan. I like to know what's going to happen next. And so I do just want to give you a heads up about the net in a couple of weeks from now, in the next little bit. We are going to be receiving what we do every year, which is a faith offering, and we all get involved. And we used to ask ourselves, Brian and I, we used to say, what can the Gibsons do? This year it's going to be called His Honor Offering. So we always say, what can we do for God's house? We used to ask that question. But we've stopped asking, what can we do for God's house? And we've started asking ourselves and our kids, what can we sacrifice? In the last few years, we've been asking, what can we sacrifice? Everybody knows that about, you know, if you've been in church for very long, you understand tithing. Tithing is 10% of everything that you bring into your house that comes off the top. It's a no-brainer Christian practice. It's like baseline, I'm a believer, I start tithing, 10% goes back to God. We return it to the Lord. And that's just basic Christian principle. But on top of that, the Bible talks about something called giving that you begin to participate in after you have tithed what God has placed in your hand. And that is to be done as you sow purpose in your heart to give. So anytime that you ask God, what do you need from me, God? And then he lays something on your heart to do, that is giving, and we sow purpose in our heart to do it. And it's wonderful to do what we can do, but how many of you know if we start looking at what can we sacrifice to give to God's house, to build his kingdom, to do the things of the Lord, it gets into a whole new territory. I mean, really, guys, what are we going to do? Are we going to stay home and just binge watch Netflix for the rest of our lives? Are we going to just jump in the deep end of this thing called the kingdom and go for it? People have asked me a lot. You know, I don't know, some of you may have more than three children, but when you have your first child, people are like, congratulations. When you have your second child, they're like, oh, that was fast. Then you have your third child and they go, do you know what does that? And then you have it like, I see people, they have their fourth child and people are like, wow, what is wrong with them? Like, they start looking at you like something shifted in your brain. That's not exactly what, but the Bible says what? That children are a blessing from the Lord and they're our heritage and we see them as such a beautiful thing. I remember whenever I was pregnant with my third, people would say, did you mean to do? I'm like, yes, I actually wanted a third child. Believe it or not, that was on purpose. We actually begged the Lord for her. So yes, I wanted this child. But it's almost like it blows people's mind. And I've noticed kind of the same reaction as we talk about multiplying churches and campuses. It's like, are you meaning to do this? Is this, no, what are you doing with your life right now? And I just keep telling people, man, I'm either going to sit home and binge watch Netflix or I'm going to go somewhere and preach the gospel. I might as well be doing the latter because how many of you know Jesus is coming back? It's getting really, really near and we got to get people born again. We got to teach them the gospel. We got to disciple people. We might as well go for it. Keep me out of trouble. Keep me busy. So I think it's a good thing. But this morning, I kind of wanted to just prepare you that that offering will be coming so that you can start talking about it around the dinner table. We talk about it with our kids. We talk about giving. We say, you know, what are we going to do, guys? What are we going to sacrifice? And what are we going to give into God's house? And maybe you have given and it didn't feel like a sacrifice and God's just pushing you into some giving. And that's going to happen in the next few weeks. So begin to prepare your heart. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do. do. Don't ask anybody else. Just ask the Lord. Get together with your spouse and your family. You guys decide what it is that you're purposing in your heart to do. And then come ready in the next few weeks. We're going to see all that God can do. We've got to do a reno on our youth ministry. We need to update our youth ministry. We need to push into building our teams and doing other things like that that we haven't done. Our technology has to be upgraded. So all of those things are going to be done through that His Honor offering, and we are excited about all that God is doing in and through our church, and we all want to be a part of it. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 13 this morning. And if you will, go with me. We are going to discuss a subject this morning that is kind of like the inside edition. How many of you ever go through the grocery store line? Be honest now, we're in church, don't lie. You go through the grocery store line and you don't want to look at the magazines that are on the shelf, but you must. You just got to take a quick look at what they've been doing this week. Just, you gotta know who J-Lo's dating, even though she's like 65 and nobody cares anymore. Just something about those magazines that draws you in. I watch people in the grocery aisle all the time, and they'll like look around, they're making sure no one's looking, and then they're like, why? Because there's something about just knowing the inside scoop that's just kind of exciting. It's why people like paparazzi things. It's why they like all of that stuff, because we're nosy. Let's face it, we are nosy people, and I am one of you. I am curious. I like to know everything. If I'm talking to you and you're telling me a story, I want to know all the details. I want to know who was there, what they said, what they were wearing, everything they said. I want to know every... Brian gets so frustrated because he'll come home and he'll tell me a story. I'll say, tell me what their face looked like. I don't know what their face look like, Jesse. Just show me. Just do your face like they did. I don't know. I don't remember what their face looked like. He's not so much into the details, but I like to know it all. And so today I want to give you just a little insider view into some of the beauty of what God's been doing in our church. People have asked a lot about our logo and about our name, and so we'll get into some of that this morning, but we're going to start off with the Word. How many of you think the Bible is a good place to start? 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face. And he said, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times. And he stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Then Elisha died and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders and they put the man in the tomb that Elisha was in. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha and he revived and stood up on his feet. That's a pretty cool story, isn't it? So here we have a man of God, the prophet of God, Elisha. He'd been leading and prophesying spiritually over the people of God for years and years and years. They were used to having him around. Chances are he'd been there the whole time that the king had been there. The king is named Joash, and he's in a situation that is really, really tough because he's been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and he's always had this man of God to rely on, and he knows that he is on the verge of death. In fact, he knows that he's on his deathbed, and he needs a word from the Lord because he genuinely needs a victory. How many of you ever needed a word from the Lord because you genuinely needed a victory? He needed a victory from God, and he knew where to get it. See, he knew to go to the man of God, and whatever the man of God said, he was going to do what the man of God said. Man, if we would just ingest this, just do what the man of God said every once in a while, the Church of America would be in a better place. If we really saw it as holy as something that was to be obeyed, Brian's pretty serious about this. Brian loves a man of God. He's gonna do what the man of God tells him to do. And he's got lots of great leaders. Our pastor always speaks into our life. And one day, they were all in Tulsa, a bunch of his buddies that were all pastors, and this one older man of God that has spoken and spoken and spoken into mine and Brian's life over the years, and he greatly respects and honors him. They were driving down the road, and all of these men were in the car, packed in real tight, and the older man of God said, "Turn in here," and Brian went, on two wheels. He just pulled in, and one of the guys said, "What is wrong with you? What are you doing?" And his buddy said, "Brian, why would you have made that turn like that?" He said, "The man of God said turn. When the man of God says turn, I turn. I don't know what y'all are talking about." Well, they've gotten a big kick out of that because it's that serious. He just does what the man of God tells him to do. We learned that early on in life. I was raised in a kind of a funny household. Some of you would say your households were funny too. If you were up here today, it would be funny too. But I was basically raised by a couple of hippies. One of them was a healing evangelist. So if you were sick in my house, man, you had two hopes. If that clove of garlic and that prayer of healing didn't heal you, you were on your own. Nobody was taking you to a doctor. It wasn't happening. So all my life I knew if I was sick, I just had to wait because mom was going to give you garlic because garlic apparently cures everything. It doesn't, by the way. Broken bones are still broken even if the clove of garlic is there. Then my dad, he would lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith, and he had a great healing flow in his life and a gift for healing, and so a lot of times we saw miracles, signs, and wonders through that, and it was just a great household to be raised in, but God forbid you get something that was miserable because you were just going to have to live through it. So one day I came home from college because I was injured. I can't remember if it was my leg or my foot, but I remember being injured, and I thought, my first thought, which is great, was I'm going to go home and see Dad. I'm going to have him lay hands on me, pray for me, and I'm going to get healed. How many of you wish that was how your kids just ended up? That was the first thought in their mind. I'm just going to get a healing from the Lord. So I just thought, I'll go home. So I drove all the way home on the weekend, and I went to see my dad. And I said, "Dad, I need you to pray for my leg." And he said, "Okay." He prayed a prayer of healing over me. And then he said, "I want you to run in the other room and come back." And I ran, and I stopped. And my dad in my kitchen, and I thought this was just like we were having a casual affair, but apparently we weren't, because my dad said to me, "Girl, when the man of God tells you to run, you run till he says stop if you really want a miracle." I said, "Okay, Dad, I'll do it." So I kept running, and do you know I left that day healed. My injury was totally healed that day, and I was fine. This was instilled into us as very, very young that you just keep on doing the last word that God gave you. Man, if we as the church in America would just keep on doing what God said last and not stop until God says stop and listen to the voices of wisdom in our life and the men and women of God that lead the church, because they answer for your soul as those that must give account. They care. They're doing it for a reason. They want you to have a great outcome and a great victory. So the man of God, he came to get this word from the man of God. That was why he was there. He knew that whatever the man of God said, that's what he was going to do. And yet he took the arrow, as the man of God said, and he said, "I want you to strike it three times." He said, "I want you to strike it." And he took it and he struck it. Even though he knew it was the arrow of his deliverance, he just struck it three times and then he completely stopped. And the man of God got angry, kind of like my dad. He said, "Did I tell you? What is wrong with you? What are you doing? If you would have kept striking, you would have had as many victories as you would have struck that arrow. But because you only struck it three times, now you will not see the deliverance that you could have seen. You will not receive the victory that you would have had over the Syrians." And because of his laziness and his striking, he saw that he was not going to overcome, and he was in desperate need of overcoming. He needed a win. He needed the people of God to look and say, "We're victorious." And he was already in a predicament. They'd been fighting forever, and the prophet of God was on his deathbed. He saw this and he was discouraged. Say, why did he quit striking, Jesse? Well, I believe that he quit striking, number one, because he was weary. Have you ever been weary? Just weary. just tired, just over it. How many of you have ever been surrounded on every side? Front, back, side to side, there were enemies all around you. It was like your household is being attacked on every front. You're physically attacked and financially attacked and relationally attacked and spiritually attacked, and everything around you is going on and you don't know what to do next. Have you ever just been weary? Is anybody weary today? I want you just to lift one hand to heaven. I want to pray for you. Right there where you are, Father, I pray for strength from heaven to come now to them, Father, that you would gird them up, that you would strengthen them from the inside all the way to the outside. God, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray that help from heaven would come to them, that the angels of the Lord would visit them, surround their household, be at their front and their back door, at every window. Father, that you would bind the devourer, rebuke the devourer for their sake. Father, I thank you today that you are with them, that you never leave them and you never forsake them. I've got a word for you. You can put your hand down. It says this in Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Did you know that if you don't quit, you win? Man, there's been times in my life I just wanted to quit. To be honest, there's been times in the last 5 years I just wanted to quit. But every time I would, my pastor's voice from Tulsa, Pastor Billy Joe Daugherty, would come up in my heart, and he said this to us all the time: if you don't quit, you win. There's one thing you cannot do if you want to be a winner, and that is quit. If you do not quit, you will win. If you keep on getting up in the morning and going to it, if you do exactly what I ask you to do, just get up in the morning and go to it, you will win, because it's those who do not quit that win. If we do not lose heart and we don't faint, God will cause us to have a great victory. I think he lost his faith. How hard would it be? How much has to be coming at you? He was the king of the chosen people of God. Guys, it was Israel. It wasn't like some foreign tribe that no one cared about. The God of all gods and the King of all kings was on their side, and he lost sight. He lost faith in who he was in the eyes of God. So much so that he got so lazy that he only hit it 3 times. On the ground, and if he would have kept going, he would have received the victory. You say, how in the world could he forget that he was the king of Israel? How in the world can we forget that we are the chosen people of God? That the day that we got saved, born again, gave our heart and our life to Jesus and became Jesus followers, that everything changed and it became in our favor. May the odds be ever in your favor. That's you. God has something for you that is greater than anything that's in the world. The victory already belongs to you. God has already led you in a victory parade. The day that he died on the cross, he defeated the power of the enemy. And now he's just a toothless, loud devil. But he has no power. You won't even let your kids say devil in the house. Don't say devil. Let them say devil. Let them tell the devil they hate him. Let them tell the devil that he's defeated. Let them tell the devil that he has no place there. You teach those kids to rise up and to speak to the devil as though they are his authority, because they are. Your 2-year-old has more power in their pinky toe than the devil has in his whole army of demons. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He lost sight. He lost faith. The third thing I believe that came against him was that he got distracted. How many of you know that noise from the enemy? It can be distracting. How many of you parents have ever been in a van or a car with a bunch of children that are all talking, singing, and screaming at the exact same time? I had 3 babies in 5 years, and I thought I was going to lose my mind if I had to drive one more place. They would just scream at the top of their lungs. I couldn't focus on anything. And my oldest, she's smart. She would jump in right at the right moment. She'd ask me exactly what she wanted. Say, hey, mama, what? Can I eat Oreos for breakfast every day? Sure. She'd say, yeah. I would not notice it. The next day, she'd be eating Oreos. I say, why do you think you can eat Oreos for breakfast? She'd say, you said yes. She knew exactly when to jump in. It's the distraction, that noise. The enemy is so chaotic, and he just builds distractions. It's like he's setting off explosions, and yet he's getting nothing done against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But it sounds so much like chaos on every corner, and the distraction, the noise, everything that's going off around you, and you buy into the fact that that war is coming for you, but it's really just distraction from the enemy. And because of it, he didn't strike as many times as he should have. You say, how do I not be distracted, Jesse? You got to stay focused, stay steady, and stay planted. You know this one. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of their God. They will bear fruit even until their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's our word from the Lord. Because we stay focused, we stay steady, we stay planted no matter what the world brings. That's how God has called us to live. See, because uprooting is deadly in the spiritual world. It's just deadly. You uproot, you get unplanted, and attacks come and they win because you're exposed. But you stay planted and those attacks come and you win because you are doing exactly. This morning, you are well on your way to flourishing because you are staying planted, staying steady, staying focused. God doesn't want the distraction to come in and take victories from you. Elisha the prophet was so powerful that even his bones, when they laid a man on axe, they got in a hurry. There was someone coming to attack, and they're like, we got to bury this dude. And they just threw him in the same grave as Elisha. I mean, that's crazy. They just tossed him in like, sorry, bud, your burial has to be a little quicker. When his body hit his bones, there was enough power in his bones to raise a man from the dead. He'd been dead for months, and here his dry bones, they're throwing a body on it, and it raises from the dead. I want that to be me. I dare you at my funeral just to jump in the casket and see what, send somebody in the casket and see what happens. I want my bones to carry the power of God. I want every fiber of my being to carry the word of God. I want every part of me to be consumed with his kingdom and his word. It's in that place that power dwells on the inside of us. Man, he's a powerful man of God, but he couldn't make him strike enough. Because see, no matter how powerful the anointing of the house, no matter how powerful the word, no matter what comes your way, you still have a choice if you will be lazy in the striking or if you will keep striking. Let everything come in or let everything stay out. It's your choice. We get to have a choice. God has given us free will. That's the beauty of this thing. One day I stood in the office. I was ready for a meeting. John Tatum was in the meeting with me. Brian was coming into the meeting, but he wasn't there yet. John Tatum started telling me, he said, man, we were talking about the church and growth and campuses. And he said, I'm so excited. He said, it reminds me of this word I just gave to the youth. He said, there's a word in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 13. And it talks about this prophet that told him to strike, but he only struck 3 times. But if he was struck more, he could have had all the victories. He said, I believe God is giving victories into our hand. As many times as we'll strike, God will deliver them to us. I said, John Tatum, that's a good word, man. I like that. So we started talking more about the growth at that time. Brian walked in the door. I forgot he hadn't been there. It was almost like a double take because he said, man, what y'all are talking about reminds me of a story in 2 Kings. There was a prophet that told the king to go and to strike the arrow, and he only struck it 3 times, but if he would have continued to strike, God would have continued to give him victories. I said, Brian, that's just what John Tatum said. And about that time, we felt the presence of Almighty God just fill the room. And I don't know if you've ever felt the tangible presence of God or if you've ever felt it in this way, but it was almost like it was so much weight that our bodies didn't want to stand up under it. We started just honoring God by bowing our head and being quiet. It kind of got like super awkward in the room, and we were all just stopped because we knew God was about to say something to us. And I heard Brian cry out. He just started screaming to God. He said, God, as many times as you will give me a victory, I promise I won't stop striking. I'll strike all day. I'll strike all night. I'll stay here and strike as many times as you'll allow us to, but God, you have to give us victories. We need to cover the world with the gospel. He just began to cry out to God. I was the paparazzi. I couldn't stand it. I needed you to see it. I took a picture. I'm sorry. I know it was a holy moment, but I did, and I brought it today. It's right here. John Tatum started getting down the floor with Brian. He said, Pastor, I got this. Let me strike. Let me do it for a while. Brian never got up. He just kept hitting the ground with his fist until literally both of their hands were bruised for days afterwards. They beat that concrete floor just covered in a little bit of carpet. John Tatum beat the floor. Brian beat the floor. I got up and I struck the floor. And we kept striking and kept striking and kept striking until we felt like God said that we could stop. And in that moment, a prophetic word that was incredible came forth, and then another, and then another, and then another. And it went on for a long time, and I don't have this morning enough time to say the whole prophetic word, but I brought highlights of that word for you today. I wanted to share them with you because I know that you're nosy like me and you want to know the full scoop. See, we were in the middle of just an ordinary meeting, and God showed up. He wants to show up in the middle of your ordinary. We're in so many meetings, I feel like I live in a perpetual meeting. God showed up and stopped the whole show, and he decided what we were going to do that day. It included in it was a promise that we would build all over the nation, that God would get joy, and that we would be used in his hand. He promised that he would laugh. I loved this part. God actually said, I promise to laugh so hard that I cry over your victories. He instructed us to keep striking and make plans, but even in doing so, that our plans would not compare to what he actually did through his church. It was prophesied that most people till the ground from the top down, but that our consistent prayer as a church had shaken the ground from the core up, and that people would look over areas of the country and they would say, that ground is too hard. No one can plant and get a harvest. But because of that prayer, that the earth has been shaken from the ground up, and that even at the top when it looks bad, that if we will be faithful to plant the seed, that God will bring forth a harvest of souls everywhere that we take our land. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God's going to do on the earth. And at the end of that, we got up, and man, we were just shaking, like everything in us shaking, and the presence of God was so heavy in the room, and there were so many great words from the Lord, and we got in the car, and we left, and it was about 2 hours later, Brian looked over, he goes, oh my goodness, I totally forgot the word from Pastor Chris McDonald. I said, what do you mean? He said, he called me last week, and he said that he saw me in a vision in his prayer time. And that vision, he saw me bent down on the ground, striking my hand on the ground over and over. And that basically the Lord had said to him, this is not a word for word quote, but that he would deliver a victory to our plan, that the victories would multiply because we had believed him for it. He said, I think that maybe I was doing what he saw today. So I took the picture and I sent it to Pastor Chris McDonald, and he said, yep, that's what I saw. He was doing exactly that in my vision. I thought that was incredible, that a week before God already knew that he was going to visit us, that he was going to speak to us, and that we would have a confirmation that we were in the right place with the right people doing the right thing. It's always good to build God's kingdom, but when you're going to make a big move of expansion, words from the Lord are vital to everyone doing their job and pushing forward as a team. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit around this place. Have y'all noticed that yet? And I tell you what, I'm so excited that God has chosen us to do something for him that we couldn't have thought up on our own or just dreamed or imagined, but something that God's really into. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but get together so much the more as you see the day of Jesus approaching. Now, I want you to know today that Jesus is coming back. And we have a certain amount of time to win people, to win the lost, to grow the found, to disciple people, and to get them ready for heaven. And I tell you what, we get to be a part of that. I want you to know today that God has a plan and a purpose for you right here in this campus. Whatever you're putting your hand to, wherever you volunteer, whatever you're giving, whatever you're doing, God is using you to build the kingdom of God everywhere that we strike. But I will tell you something that I believe genuinely down deep in my heart. That as many times as we will strike, God will give us victory. As many times as this church will strike, doesn't mean we'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything will go just right all the time, but it does mean that if we will be faithful to strike, that God will receive the victory that he's looking for through us. How many of you want to be a part of a victorious life that God's called us to live? ahead and stand up on your feet today. I want to bless you and your family, because you know what? Building the church means building you, means building your family, means building your neighborhood, means building your friends, means building your neighbors. Building the church means that your marriage thrives, that your kids serve Jesus, that you have an abundance for every good work, and that we reach out into the world and touch people's lives for Jesus. So if you want to be a part of all God's doing, I just want to pray over you today. Feel free to lift a hand to heaven if you want to. And if you don't, just stand in reverence of God's presence this morning, because it is definitely in the room. Father, I thank you. God, we honor you. Above all other things, we say, Lord, we want to make you famous in the earth. Father, today we honor you. We say, let it be done right here in Owensboro, Kentucky, as it is in heaven. Miracles, signs, and wonders from heaven. Father, today we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise today. I say, Lord, that I bless these people in the mighty name of Jesus. I say that they're the head and they are never the tail. Above only and never beneath, their cupboards are filled with plenty. They have an abundance for every good work, and every single thing that they touch prospers, it pushes forward, it succeeds, it gets greener. Today, Lord, we lean into you and your presence, and we say, Lord, we will continue to strike and we will not stop. Father, today we ask for victories all over the nation. May America come and know you again. Lord, may we be God seekers. May we be less focused on self and more focused on you. May there be less of us and more of you, God. Church, if you agree with that, just say amen this morning. Amen, amen.